Let's go across to New Zealand. Our SENZ Afternoons host, Stephen MacIver, joins us. G'day, Stephen.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Great, thank you. All Blacks back in full swing, 35-23 over South Africa. So what's been the reaction?
Interesting reaction. It is still revolving around the future of coach Ian Foster, which I find lamentable. The fact that he's gone and taken his team and won at that one of the hardest places in the world of rugby to win and done it in style, it still beggars belief that people want his head. The worst part of all of this, Matty, is that the fact that his CEO has not backed him at all in a press conference, and that's getting all the jip here this morning, is they're saying, well, it wasn't really a press conference and nothing was said and he didn't come out and back him. So it is, I feel for the guy. He says until he hears anything, he'll be getting ready for another test in Christchurch in a couple of weeks. And I really feel for the guy in this perspective. I mean, this was a so-called crisis, because the All Blacks weren't winning like they expected to do. I listened to John Hart on another radio station, the former All Black coach, say today, he said, people have got to get real. World rugby has changed. The All Blacks are now one of the big, have always been a big team, but they're not as dominant as they were. Get over it and move on and support the coach until you think or the board say you're no longer the coach. I find it, frankly, quite pathetic, but it's going to drive some talk today.
It certainly will. It's really interesting that Mark Robinson doesn't come out and back Ian Foster, sack him. I've got to say, from our side of the fence, it appears as though all this is very un-All Black-like. Does that make sense to you?
When you talk about not backing anyone, you know, leadership is one of the critical things in the world we live in today, right? I think Mark Robinson's showing zero leadership, and the comms around it, whoever his comms people are, need to be sacked straight away, because they have dropped the ball completely on this and done nothing from the reputation of the NZR that is a bit like, you know, Colditz, you know, but like the Stasi. You know, people don't like to talk about it in case something happens. You won't be on their wish list, their good list anymore for getting the exclusive. So I think that's been a real, real shame, and something needs to change. Maybe people should be asking for the head of the CEO.
How much attention's paid to what the Wallabies have been doing? I mean, last week against Argentina, we were world beaters the other night.
We all love Dave Rennie, but even I'm going, you kidding me, right? They got toweled up by the Argies, but it's a bit of a. But I think, you know, I mean, how much pressure's coming on Dave Rennie now because you get toweled up by the Argies? I would like to think not, because Dave Rennie is one of the great minds in world rugby. You should treat that as a blip and move on.
It's interesting what you say about coaches, mate. I'm hearing you, but it's interesting what you say about coaches.
In rugby league, Matty, you know, you'd be sacked tomorrow, right? Let's be blunt. You know, Ian Foster, if he kept going like this, he'd be sacked. There wouldn't be, should we keep him? He'd be gone. Do you think Phil Gould would keep him if he was losing five in a row? No.
But you've got this four-year World Cup cycle. So this is the thing that you can always fall back to. We're building, building, building. I mean, honestly, we hear that time and time again over here.
Are you like me and get tired of hearing that? Because I certainly am, because it's just, for me, it's just another tournament. I mean, we live in the world of entertainment. Sport is entertainment. We should be celebrating wins as they happen. We should be crowing from the rooftops that we beat the world champions in rugby in the toughest place in world rugby, one of the toughest to win, and leave it at that. And then as a sidebar, you know, the NZR should be just quietly dealing with the coaching issue if they think it's an issue. This has been driven by social media and also architects in the media that don't like the coach. It's as simple as that. You and I both know that. That's how it rolls. And I think it's poor form. So, you know, we love Dave Rennie. Don't worry about that. He's not going to be the ultimate coach, but he... You keep him. We need Australian rugby strong.
Where would we be without it? What have you made about the Bulldogs? We've been talking about this morning, obviously here at length. The Bulldogs sign up Cameron Seraldo. A lot of interest around the actual term here. Now, I find this interesting, Stephen, because he had all the cards, I reckon, because he's the coach most wanted in the NRL. So what point would Cameron Seraldo achieve by saying, yeah, I'll go over there for a couple of years, but if it doesn't work, I'm part of the churn and burn system. I need some security, I need some longevity, and I need a big bloody deal to make sure that if you do get rid of me in a couple of years, I've got some money in the bank to, you know, to go for the next couple of years while I wait for another job.
Well, the question remains this. I'm a Doggies fan, right? Always have been, always will be. Still got a Doggies jersey given to me by Terry Lamb. Signed, actually. I'm quite proud of that, to be fair.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. You had to throw that piece in just to make sure to give it some credence, right? 5 years is a big deal when you're not a proven head coach. And I think this is the mistake a lot of clubs make, right? You work under Ivan Cleary. He's a good mate of mine. And we've got Andrew Webster coming here to look after the Warriors. Yeah, that's great. You're a great assistant. Fantastic. But can you be a head coach? Are you the goods? Because going from assistant to being a head coach in that boiling pot that is the NRL is a completely different ballgame, because you are hammered from pillar to post, whether you win, lose or draw, every week for 26 odd weeks. And if you don't make the finals, the questions start asking. Yeah, and you know what? You know the biggest problem we've got in the game at the moment? It's not about the coaching or the length of the deal. Too much player power. I actually think players have too much power nowadays. I'm hearing things inside the Warrior camp. You're going, well, hang on a minute. Just do your job, be the player. But, you know, wives get involved and suddenly, you know, CEOs are bending over backwards to look after players. Hang on a minute. You're the meat and the sandwich, pal. You're there to pay to do a job. Just do your job. So I think the real issue will be, can Cameron Schroeder come in and bring, let's say, the Cleary-like philosophy? Ivan's one of the best people persons in the world, right?
Person
dealing with club. Persons, people. Oh, sorry, I'm rushing too quickly. And he understands the most important thing in a competition that has a 40% Pacific Island representation now. He's played amongst Pacific Islanders who are just not, you know, hey, they're players. They're players. Ivan gets it. Now, if he has transformed Schroeder into someone who gets it and gets what he's dealing with across the board when it comes to personalities, ethnicities, and culture, because we throw culture out really quickly nowadays without thinking about it, but it's a big thing in rugby league. If he gets it, then he'll do fine. And if he's a master of tactics and all those sorts of gets the win, yeah, great, sign the five-year deal. If not, see you later. Thanks for 5 years, man. It was 5 years, right?
Yeah. 5-year deal. And like I say, I mean, I'm assuming that when they sat down that Cameron Serraldo had all the power there. He was the one that they absolutely wanted. So if the 5-year deal may have been offered to him, or he may have put it to them, because either way, he needs the security around that. So he was the man holding all the cards. Gee, it was good to see the Warriors. Big win again. At home. God, there's nothing like, we've been saying it all year, Steve, is you just got to get home. I mean, it sounds so simple, but you just got to get home. And the power of playing back at Mount Smart Stadium was evident again.
Yeah, and it was good, because I'd actually tipped the Dogs to win that. I thought their backline would rip shreds out of what I thought was a pretty average backline, but it didn't turn the other way. And look, you know, having been around that game for 25 years and seen and been at that ground when that place is humping, you got to say that it is genuinely a 4 points easy with the crowd behind you. But I think it was just nice to see them do it properly and not have to sort of come from behind as always and drag their asses into gear and get a win. They had purpose. Sean Johnson, you know, we saw a little bit of the sparkle of the old Sean Johnson. I think they're a long way off, but I'm not going to diss that. Celebrate the win and celebrate it hard, because they're not going to make the finals. Not within a cooey of them making finals. They're not good enough to make the finals. Let's be blunt. They're not even close, but celebrate the win. Crowds love it. I still remember going back to a 2008 playoff against the Roosters, that same one when Ruben Wiki KO'd Sir Solomon, I think it was. And I remember Braithen Astor saying afterwards, I have never, ever, and will never, ever play in an atmosphere like this again. That's what playing at Mount Smart with a rabid crowd is like, and that has to be celebrated. So, yeah. Good to see them win, but they're not finals bound. Don't worry about that.
Exactly. Good to catch up, mate. We'll speak again soon.
Yeah, thanks, Matty. Have a great day.
Stephen McIver there, SENZ Afternoons host, and you can catch SENZ on our SEN app. So it's pretty easy to tune on into all of our network coverages right across both here and across the ditch as well.